You're listening to the Seahawks Insiders.
Geno looks, going to lay it up over the top. Got a man out there. It is Lockett. He has got it. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Getting you ready for Seahawks football every Sunday.
First and 10 at the Seattle 40. Play fake to Stafford. Going to stop. Going to look. Gets hit. Goes down. Back at midfield. Getting to him in the backfield is Darrell Taylor.
Presented by Delta, the official airline of the Seahawks. Now, here's your host, Jen Mueller.
Welcome to I'm going to call it a special edition of the podcast. At least it is for me, John Boyle. You know how excited I get to fill in my paper calendar. And it finally happened because we have a schedule. Are you as excited as I am?
I'm very excited, but I'll say every edition of this podcast is special, Jen.
It's a chance for us
to talk about football. That's always special.
That's a good point.
However,
but I do feel
being able to plan our fallout a little bit is nice. Especially now, you more than most, because you're juggling multiple teams here, so you got a lot to figure out.
Well, but even then, I just want to know where we're going. And I was really curious to see what the schedule makers were going to do with a new team and how those home games and road games were going to line up. I'm not going to lie. I also look at where the cold weather cities are and when we are playing them. And
yeah, you're like, New England week 2. Awesome.
Before we get into specifics and week by week matchups, John, when you first took a look at the schedule, what stood out most?
You know, a couple things I always look at right away are when's the bye, because that's a big deal, especially for the players rest-wise. And then primetime games, non-Sunday games, you know, the two Thursday games is tough. Last year, the Seahawks played two Thursday games, but they're back-to-back, so it only felt like one short week. They got two of those short weeks, Sunday to Thursday, so that's pretty tricky. You know, and then selfishly, you look at when am I in this city or what's going on with the holidays, and not loving a gate day after Christmas game in Chicago, but hey, it is what it is.
Here's what I think I love about this schedule. I think I love that it is front-loaded with home games.
Yeah.
So the Seahawks are going to play 6 of their first 9 at home. Here's what I think I love about that. First of all, it is the most beautiful time and beautiful weather in the Pacific Northwest, but for an entirely new coaching staff to try to get its feet wet, I wonder if that and having the 12s on their side, like from the get-go, I wonder how that kind of plays in. Maybe it's just a happy coincidence, but I wonder how that kind of plays in to how this all plays out at the beginning.
For sure. That did jump out at me of, look, no game is easy, and there's some tough teams on that first half of the schedule, but it does help that you're playing a bunch of it at home where, you know, we've seen throughout the NFL in different years where a team, you know, a good start can make all the difference, where a team gets some confidence and gets rolling, or vice versa. You fall in a big hole and it's hard to get out of. So when you get a bunch of home games early, 4 of 5 at home right before the bye week, I mean, again, there's some really good teams on there. You know, your division opponents, you got Detroit on the road, you got Buffalo. I mean, some tough games, but getting that many at home gives you a good chance to maybe build a little momentum for a first time coaching staff.
I'm also going to say those first two games, one is at home, one is on the road against the Patriots. You're looking at rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Bo Nix with the Broncos, Drake May with the Patriots, no Bill Belichick. This looks really different than if you would have had these matchups a year or so ago.
Yeah, I mean, both teams have changed a ton. I mean, the obvious, it's easy to look at Denver and think, hey, they opened in Seattle 2 years ago, but man, a lot has changed really for both franchises, but especially Denver. Different coach, obviously different quarterback with Russell Wilson gone. I mean, it's a very different franchise. And then, yeah, that week two game's interesting. It's, you know, two of the best coaches of their era both moved on this offseason, and you got two new coaching staffs facing off. And yeah, I think, you know, a brand new defense with Mike McDonald that everyone's expecting to be really good and really dynamic, starting off with two rookie quarterbacks, could be kind of fun to see how that plays out.
It could be. And with Mike McDonald, he has never faced Sean Payton when he was a coordinator. So that'll be very interesting to see what the Broncos come up with. Maybe some familiarity with other teams, but that is not one of them. So you look at the primetime game in Detroit on week 4. It is Monday night. We remember how the game in Detroit ended last year. By the way, 3 straight years in Detroit. Look, I love where we stay. I'm ready for a change of scenery on that. But I will overlook that if we can come away with a win like the Seahawks did last year. But that one's going to be a tricky one. One of the handful of playoff teams the Seahawks have on their schedule this year.
Yeah, very tough one. I don't blame the NFL for wanting to put that in primetime, given the way the last two matchups have gone. Really high scoring down to the wire, including an overtime game last year. So that should be really fun to see how that one goes. You know, the newly paid Jared Goff leading the way. And I mean, what a cool story the Lions were last year, the run they made, and just how much that city embraced that team. So we saw it last year when the Seahawks played in the opener. There's their home opener, how loud that building gets. It should be a wild one.
When you look overall, Seahawks' strength of schedule, it is tied for 24th in the league. I don't, however, like how difficult the schedule looks from week 6 to week 11, where you are going to play the 49ers twice. And as if playing your division rival wasn't a big enough deal, the Hawks are 0-5 against the 49ers since the start of 2022. And the Niners, when you look in general at how they've been able to dominate the division, well, they are 12-1, including playoffs against the NFC West in the last couple of seasons. So you're looking at a tough stretch of games bookended by your division rivals.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the only maybe saving grace in that stretch is a lot of those are at home. But look, I mean, part of the reason that you made a coaching change and you bring in a guy thought of as a defensive guru was, you know, to go toe-to-toe with these top NFC West teams, two of the best offensive minds in the NFC West. So I'm not saying that, you know, the first half of the first season is a referendum on whether McDonald was successful or not, but this is a great early chance to see, okay, what can he do against these, you know, Shanahan tree offenses that have given the Seahawks so much trouble?
And, you know, for as much as we look at where the bye week falls for Seattle, which is in that stretch of games, because we've got a week 10 bye, I also looked up where our division rivals had their bye, and it's fairly comparable with the Niners' bye coming in week 9, Arizona's bye coming in week 11. The Rams, however, they've got an early week 6 bye, which, John, that just kind of, like, if you're thinking about where you make adjustments or where teams get breaks, maybe that plays into the Seahawks' favor. I did think it was interesting, though, that the Rams and the Niners were all kind of around the same part of the season with having an off week.
Yeah, I mean, it's the bye's always, it's sort of you make do, and players always say you take it when it is and make the best of it. But I think most teams would prefer that of sort of mid to late season-ish, and it will be, you know, it's interesting to see how teams adjust if the Rams having their bye a little earlier or making some tweaks here and there. But yeah, I think, you know, early to mid-November is a great time for it.
I don't want to overlook the week 7 matchup at Atlanta. That kind of breaks up a streak of home games for the Hawks. I think a year ago you would have said, great, I'll take playing the Falcons. And now you're looking at Kirk Cousins, you're looking at a new coaching staff, and you might, depending on how things play out, get a peek at Michael Penix. I'm not really sure what they're going to do with the quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's the biggest storyline, biggest question coming out of the draft, and I'm sure there'll be a little more clarity by then, but yeah, we'll see. I think, you know, there's a lot of obviously overlap of Seahawks and Husky fans who would love to see Michael Penix play in that game, but you know, I think probably more realistically, it'll be a quarterback the Seahawks have seen plenty of over the years with Washington, with the Vikings, and Kirk Cousins, who's been a really good player throughout his career. So that team is definitely pretty intriguing. You know, they've got some weapons. They haven't really had the quarterback play to make it work so far, but they're hoping Kirk Cousins is that guy, and the coaching change will make some good things happen.
There is certainly going to be a different looking Jets team when the Seahawks play week 13 in New York. First of all, beginning of December. So we're going to get all the holiday vibes when we're in New York. But presumably, John, we're going to see Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
That's their hope.
Maybe.
That's obviously what the Jets are. They're banking on that in a big way. I mean, last year they had very high hopes, and he lasted, what, 4 plays, unfortunately, had his Achilles pop. And the NFL schedule makers are banking on that, too. They have, what, 6 primetime games in the first 11 weeks. So it'll be it's obvious it's a quarterback-driven league, but particularly that team and that player, so much of their season would seemingly ride on his health. And, you know, for the sake of that game being entertaining, you hope he's healthy and that he's having a good season. I do want to know, are we going ice skating? Isn't that about when the time of year that they...
Maybe. We need to look at when the tree lighting ceremony is, which I think might be just a couple of days before we get there. So maybe this is a special on the road edition of Seahawks Insiders podcast while we are ice skating.
Sure.
Which will be a very short podcast, folks, and probably filled with some exclamations that you don't normally hear from us.
Exclamations, expletives, one and the same.
I chose my words carefully on that one, John. I chose them carefully. So the Seahawks are going to back up that game against the Jets with a game at Arizona. Seattle has come out ahead. Gosh, for the last 3 years there, Arizona has not beaten the Seahawks in their place since 2020. Interesting, for as much as we are all wondering what's going to happen with the Seahawks team, I did take a look at our opponents' websites and figure out what they were saying about their schedule. And essentially, they all said the same thing. There is a huge question mark. And outside of knowing that Geno Smith goes in as your starter, but nobody knows what to expect from the Seahawks team. So I do like the element of surprise. And the Seahawks have found some good fortunes in Arizona.
Yeah, 8-1-1 in their last 10 at Arizona. Against Cardinals, at least. They also beat the 49ers there. We won't talk about the postseason game that was played in that building. But, yeah, they've had a lot of success.
Or the injuries. But, you know, hey, I'm just looking at the
I wasn't even going to bring that up, Jen.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so you've got the Cardinals. I do not care for having Arizona in 2 out of 3 weeks. Last year, it was the 49ers. I guess if you're going to have a division opponent twice in 3 weeks, maybe that is maybe that's the better one just because of style of play and how the matchup has played out for the Seahawks, but I'm not loving that. Sunday Night Football against the Packers, that'll be fun, followed up by another rookie quarterback in J.J. McCarthy week 16 with the Vikings, right? We should see him.
Yeah, and some fun, you know, Michigan side kind of subplots with the connection of, you know, obviously Mike McDonald, you got Jay Harbaugh on staff, so that'll be a fun one to see. And yeah, a lot of rookie quarterbacks in the NFL this year probably playing some meaningful snaps. And it's always fascinating to see how those goes. I mean, some guys end up looking like C.J. Stroud. Well, hardly anybody looks like C.J. Stroud, but, you know, that's the extreme good case scenario. But there's some rookies that struggle as well. And you, if you're the Seahawks, you hope you face some rookies going through kind of a learning curve.
Well, and I was wondering where Caleb Williams was going to fall on this schedule. As it turns out, it is week 17 when, as you already mentioned, the Seahawks are going to play the day after Christmas. And you don't know how it's going to play out, right? Would I rather catch a rookie earlier or later? I don't know, because they are either going to have a better grasp of the system, or maybe they're going to be so beat down and confused and frustrated that it doesn't matter. I mean, we've seen it in all sides of the thing, all sides of the story, the thing. That was just terrible. But there are some additional storylines with the Bears. You've got a lot of coaches on that staff that were with Seattle. You also have Rome Odunze, who was a standout at the University of Washington. So I am fascinated to see how that plays out and also how the weather comes into play on that one.
Yeah, I mean, weather, you figure, is going to be some sort of factor. One of the coldest times I think I've been is walking through Chicago in January, when the Seahawks had a playoff game there, the 2010 season. It just that, I mean, the lake, the wind, the cold, it's a different cold there. So if you're the Seahawks, you hope it's a somewhat mild week of December, but it could be a real factor. And team-wise, that Bears team's fascinating. I think they're one of those teams that a lot of people think could be the, you know, losing record 1 year and playoff team the next year, just with the pieces they've added and, you know, obviously the quarterback, but they seem to have gotten better in a lot of areas. So I don't think you can look at all at, you know, where they were drafting or what their record was and assume that that's an easy W at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's that one's going to be fascinating. I will also say just field conditions in Chicago, Regardless of the outside temperature, that is a tough, tough field to play on at that time of year. The Seahawks are going to close out their regular season schedule against the Rams in L.A. I will say that I don't mind a trip to L.A. in January. I just don't. It's probably sunny. I'm probably going to enjoy myself. I don't mind it.
No.
So there's that.
Weather-wise, should be great. And also, you expect that game to have some implications, hopefully, for both teams. I mean, the Seahawks, you know, Mike McDonald's talked about this. John Schneider's talked about it. Like, expectations don't change. They want to be a contender. They expect to be a contender. And, you know, more often than not, over the last decade plus, that last game of the season's had some real implications. And hopefully this one does as well.
Well, and the fact that the Seahawks have 4 primetime games, that's not what they had going into last year. The fact that they've got four primetime games tells me that there's enough intrigue and possibility, potential with this team, that it is kind of on the radar of the NFL schedule makers and decision makers. So I would take that as kind of a positive. Seattle coming off the 9-8 season, but still, John, they were in that playoff hunt until the last week.
Yeah, I mean, they went into it with that week 18 game having a lot riding on it. Unfortunately, the rest of the league didn't, kind of things didn't go their way. But yeah, I mean, traditionally, this last game of the season has held real significance. And again, I think they would fully expect that to be the case. And, you know, the Rams, I'm sure, are expecting the same coming off the year they had.
Okay. Last couple of questions for you.
Yes.
The road game you are looking forward to most, and maybe I should say road city you are looking forward to most, is?
You know, I could say New England, or I could say New York every time we go there because that's a tough city to beat. It's such a wonderful place. But I'm going to go with New England because we haven't been there nearly as often. Boston's a cool city. It's going to be September. The weather should be awesome. So that trip looks fun to me. Now, for the people like me who are also happen to be fans of one of the great rock bands to ever come out of this area, Pearl Jam is playing Fenway Park the night after that Seahawks Patriots game. So if you want to double dip and try to make the trip down, I highly recommend it. I don't think I'll be able to make it because, you know, got to work after the game, but could be fun for the fans.
Right. Yeah, that is a bummer for you.
It is.
Yeah, that's a bummer for you.
So
I'm going to throw in Chicago as well, because you're going to get all of the holiday in the city. I know it's the day after Christmas. It's not ideal, but I do like a trip to Chicago and I do like seeing what the city is.
Great city.
The game that intrigues you most in general on the Seahawks schedule is?
I mean, I think I got to go the first 49ers game. I think, you know, again, it's not fair to say Mike McDonald's is a success if they win and he's not if they lose. Like, he's hopefully going to be here for a long, long time and that's just one game. But I just do really want, and you could even say this about Miami given their offense, but some of these early tests, I want to see what the Seahawks defense looks like against some really good offenses.
I'm actually going to take kind of the cop out here and go week one.
Yeah.
I want to see what it looks like because even in the preseason, we're going to have kind of a vanilla scheme on both sides of the ball. I want to see what it looks like and I want to hear what the 12s have to say about it too.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that is our schedule breakdown. I love knowing that we can dive into this a little bit more in the coming weeks. And I tell you what, we're probably going to dive into what the team looks like, how the rookies are looking as we keep going. That'll do it for us today, though, on this edition of the Seahawks Insiders Podcast.